morning. I am humbled and I count it a privilege to be able to stand before you all. I would like to open with a word of prayer this morning, if we could. Let's just bow and pray. Dear Father, we come before you, come into your presence, Lord. We come trembling, asking that you would bless us today as we come to you, as we look to you for your word to be brought forth. I do ask especially that you would help me, that I could speak those things which you've given, and that you would give us a blessing today, that you bless each heart that is here. I trust that you will meet our needs that we have, Lord, and that you will continue to open our path before us. We thank you so much for this service so far, and we ask that you would continue your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that was a blessing, what was shared already this morning as opening thoughts there. And I by no means want to take away from that, but we want to be faithful in what God has given me to share this morning. My topic this morning has to do with our relationships and how we relate to each other. I had to think last Sunday's opening was also in relationships, and I don't want to take away from that at all, but I would like to continue that study in one sense. Each person in this room, if you're able to understand what I'm saying today, this message will apply to you in one way or another. So this morning, I would like to speak on the topic. The title I would give it would be Offend or Offended? Offend or Offended? And we'd like to look at this topic briefly. I know that I will not do it justice this morning. But I'd like to look at this topic a little more on the side of offended, as me being the one that is offended. Many times we look at it more on the other side of offending someone else. But I would like to look at it on this side this morning a little more. And then we want to switch sides and look from the other side as well. I think most of us would understand what the King James or the Bible would speak of as we look at the word offend. But I think many times we use it too loosely. If you look up the word offend, many times it comes back to the Greek word of 4624. Basically, it is to scandalize, to entrap or trip up, stumble, entice to sin, or to apostasy. So it's fairly, to me, that seems fairly strong, to cause someone to offend. And I think we want to be somewhat careful there with our terminology and when we use that word. Another Greek word that is sometimes used for offend would be 264, is to miss the mark or to sin, to trespass. And that would be to offend, maybe to offend God, or, you know, it'd be to sin against God. So this morning I would like to think about What comes to your mind as you think about being offended? If we think about ourselves as being the offended one, one thing that's been going through my mind as I think on this topic, this subject, is what scripture can I turn to for encouragement if I'm the offended one? And as I was considering that, and I didn't do a really, really in-depth study of this, but I can't really think of one scripture that would clearly give me encouragement if I am taking offense at someone. And that's sobering to me, because God speaks quite a bit of offending someone, but I think if we are the one that is offended, many times that issue lies in our own heart, and we need to check our own heart. I'd like to consider that more as we go along. Many times I think our offenses can be based on our feelings more than anything else. And so I think We want to understand that, and I think we'll find, if we will look carefully, I think we'll find some keys for our life today in some of these thoughts. And I not in my thoughts, but in the words that we will read today in Scripture. And what I say, I stand at risk of offending even today, or causing someone to take issue with what I say. And I don't want to be a stumbling block for someone in any way. I want to share these things because these have been things in my own heart that I have had to deal with. If we are easily offended, I believe it is a good time for us to check our hearts and lives. Many times this comes from a life of insecurity or little security in God. This can be caused from a life of hidden sin, unwillingness to forgive, or a life that's lived in hypocrisy. These are things that I just want us to ponder on. Not necessarily think of other people as we do that, but think about our own life. Does this fit our life today? I had to think of the many times that Jesus spoke about offense. And I'd like to look at some of those verses here as we go then. But Jesus speaks quite a bit about offense. And one of those times, I don't have it down in my notes right now, but one of those times was there in John 6, John chapter 6, where many of his disciples no longer walked with him. Because he asked them, did this offend you? And he was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood in that time there. And these disciples that were following him were offended and turned their back and walked no more with him. I personally think that our definition for offend is quite a bit different at times. I think one way that we could describe it, would be to be peeved, perhaps, to be made upset. And sometimes the outworkings of that can be to sulk or cause perhaps to avoid someone else. And when a challenge is brought to us, sometimes that can be an offense to us. And I don't consider that, as we look at the definition here in Scripture, I don't consider that necessarily offending someone. I think that has more to do with our attitude and our heart condition and how we receive. With all of these, as I shared before, I think our feelings are involved, and that affects a lot of how we respond. Our feelings can definitely deceive us. And I don't believe, as we have feelings in our heart, feelings rising in our heart, many times we'll respond wrongly because of that. I have to think of the scripture in Psalms 119. I think many of us could probably quote it. Verse 165. I think it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing will cause them to stumble." And I like that picture there, because the word offend there in the Old Testament is actually pretty similar to the Greek word in the New Testament. Basically to trip up or to stumble. And so if I look at that verse, if someone loves the Lord God and loves His law, there's nothing is going to be able to come along and trip them up and cause them to stumble. That's a great joy to me in my walk with God. Trust in God is vital. That's very important. We must believe that God is leading us. We must have confidence that we are right where God wants us to be. And I think this is where these keys will come in our life. If we find ourselves right in the center of God's will, and we have accusations, or if we have things brought against us, and we know that we're walking with God, yes, I think we need to check our hearts. I definitely think we need to check our hearts. But if we have confidence that God is leading us, then these things don't have to cause our apple cart to be tipped over. We don't have to lose our joy, and we don't have to become offended in this life here. My goal is not to unsettle us, but if we aren't secure, our lives are going to reveal this. I think that's one thing that the fruit of that will come out. How quickly are we shaken up? How quickly are we disturbed by what other people say about us or against us? And that only will come if we have our security in Jesus Christ. If we have our, I was just thinking of that this morning, if we have our security in men, if we put our trust in men, if we are looking for praise of men, then these things are going to affect us much differently. Because when men begin to turn their back on us or begin to perhaps even speak ill of us, we will take offense. We will quickly lose our peace and our joy. I have to think, we see different places in the gospel where Jesus says, "Blessed are they that are not offended in me." I'd like to look at that in Matthew chapter 11, verse 6 is one of those scriptures. Jesus was an offense to many people. And the reason is because they chose not to believe in him. They chose to not receive him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. Let's go back. This is talking about when John sent those messengers to Jesus. And we'll start in verse 3. "And said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And this Jesus was speaking to those messengers, and this is what they should tell John. And the interesting thing is Jesus revealed all those different things that were being done. And if they would only look at that, they would say, yes, this has to be the Messiah. This has to be the one sent from God. And if they reject, they will probably be offended. But he was revealing himself to them. Luke chapter 7, a couple verses there I'd like to also read on this same thought. Verses 21 through 23. And this is the same, basically, Jesus here is talking about John the Baptist. "And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how the blind see and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And I'm amazed how Jesus handles these things, and we have him as our example today. One of the things that as I thought about this subject, and I say this carefully, but I think us people in plain churches, I think struggle with this about as much as anybody. I think, if I can say it nicely in this way, but I think we have some of the thinnest skin when it comes to having things said about us. We get very irritated very quickly. And maybe it's because we perhaps interact a little more closely than others. That could be. But I think it's something we need to check our hearts for. Now, I do want to say I'm not for having thick skin. I'm not for someone that is calloused or unfeeling. That's not my heart at all. But somehow I think there's more to Christian life than being irritated easily. I think it should take something far greater than some of these things to unsettle us, or to, like I shared earlier, tip our apple cart as we're going down the street. If we walk in the light, our faith is in Jesus and our confidence and hope is in Christ, then we need not fear what men may say. Now, I know that this gets a lot closer home when we're talking about brothers and sisters in the church. And I want to try to balance it somewhat at the end here. But I also think that many times things are blown far out of proportion, far further than they would need to be by our response then, by what things maybe are said. I want to say that we must be willing to receive what others say. And that's very important. In humility, take what is said. But in the end, we need to trust God that He will lead and direct us, and to change action or take action if that is needed. If we know that we are at peace with God, then we can trust Him. And many times I know in my own experiences, when there's something in my heart that I'm struggling with, and then someone else comes along and perhaps brings something to light or says something that maybe it hurts me, then I'm much quicker to respond in a negative way or to try to defend myself. And that's one thing that I want to say is there are times that we need to defend ourselves, in the sense that I think there's opportunity sometimes for us to do that. But many times, when we go about to defend ourselves, we only throw more coal onto the fire. And I know that it's something that comes very natural for us as humans to speak out and try to defend what we've done or what we've said. But we don't have to look long at Jesus' life when we realize that that's something that He didn't do very much. It's interesting that the verses used to defend or being offended are verses that speak often of being the least in the kingdom. And I want us to stop and consider that this morning. If we're one that is easily offended, I don't think that's something a place where we want to dwell is being least in the kingdom in that sense, of being the very smallest or being very young in God's kingdom. I think we need to be as little children in our responses, but I think it's time for us sometimes to grow up into maturity as well. I was also considering if someone is critical of us, or sometimes even gossips or slanders about us, even that, I find nowhere in Scripture that it gives us a reason to be offended. And I know those can be very strong accusations, and they can be a real trial to us, but I think the call that Jesus is calling us to is that we need to respond in humbleness and meekness, even in those situations. I think one of those keys can be is when those accusations and stuff come, sometimes it's best for us to let time be the best cure and allow the truth to be revealed. I think that's one thing that has become clearer and clearer to me as life goes on, is we can spend so much time defending ourselves, and when in reality God wants us to just be faithful and walk a life that is transparent and holy before Him. I think that's the key to living a truly fulfilled life in Jesus. Our joy needs to be in serving Jesus and not trying to please men, not trying to live a life that is trying to get glory from men. If I can say that in the right way this morning, if we're all living for that same purpose of serving Jesus, I think a lot of these things will find their place in our life. I want to spend a little time now on being the one who offends. And this is a serious subject, and I don't want to take it lightly at all with what I have just said previously. It tells us in Luke chapter 17, I think it's worth looking at that, verses 1 through 5. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. I think that's what we need to say this morning as well. But I had to think the second part there, verses 3 and 4, I had to think, how often would we be offended just in that if our brother kept trespassing against us? I thought that's kind of almost coincidence there. But it's very serious there, the first two verses, that if we were to cause to be a stumbling block or to seduce someone to sin, that is definitely an offense. And I think we need to look at it very seriously this morning. None of us should be ever be someone that causes someone to offend. We should never do something with that intent, to purposely cause someone to stumble. I did find these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I'd like to read through some of those, because I think those are important for us to consider as well this morning, verses that Paul gives. We'll read chapter 8, verses 7 through the end of the chapter. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, and I'm just cutting in here, he's talking about meat sacrificed to an idol. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. And if I remember right, that word stumbling block is basically the same word there as offend. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him that is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against God, against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now the last verse kind of tripped me up for quite a while, and I still don't know if I entirely understand it. But it does sound like Paul is saying that if this is going to cause someone to offend, he's not going to eat meat or flesh. Now, if I look up the word flesh, as I read this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me it is specifically talking about this meat that's sacrificed to idols, is what it seems like to me as I read it. And Paul is saying he could do it with a clear conscience. It didn't affect him. But if this is causing an offense to someone else, then he's not going to do it. And I appreciate that, and I think that should be our heart for our brothers, for our sisters in the congregation here, is that we do not do things that would cause them to offend. So that's definitely an example for us. I had to think Proverbs 18, verse 19, and I think this might be taken out of context ever so slightly, but I'd like to read this because I think it is true even for us today. I can't quote it, so I want to look at it here. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. And so it is a sobering thing. If there is someone that is offended at us, it can be a very difficult thing to win their trust back. Like to look at John chapter 6. I mentioned that at the beginning. I'd like to just read some of those words. John chapter 6, verses 60 through 64. And as I mentioned, just previous to this, he was talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. Those are the ones that are going to dwell in me and I in him. Starting in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And I have a feeling, I don't know for a fact, but it seems to me that those who believed not were definitely some of those that were offended at him. And I don't know what all to do with this. Jesus does not seem like he changed his message because someone was offended at him. And I think that's something for us to consider today. If we know something to be true, if we know that something to be right, I don't think we need to change what we do or say because someone may take an offense at that. And I say that carefully. I don't want to be misunderstood by that. But I think there is those who believe that we need to soften our message because someone may not agree with us. I know that what I shared this morning, I run the risk of being misunderstood, and that's if I said something amiss, I would appreciate if you would talk to me about it. But I do believe that many times we can walk around and we many times are looking for praise from the wrong source. We are looking for joy and peace from the wrong things. And until we find that in Jesus Christ, we will be offended and we will be hurt many times. I would like to look at one more scripture in closing here. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. And this is what I'd like to leave us with here this morning. I think I'll just read this verse. "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and toward men." And that is basically saying the exact opposite of what we've been talking about. To be void of offense is to try to do our best to live at peace and not cause a stumbling block. So that's what my prayer is, that we could together be able to live a life in this way together. God's blessings.